The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Free Fire Radio in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Chris Clark. It's Thursday, the 22nd of March. Good morning. It's 5.5 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, and the news is brought to you by... The news is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, right here in Redding. Great place, newly renovated, same great service, same absolutely fascinating, best in the North State walk-in humidor, too. Shelly and the crew over there, great people. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Good morning, Bad Bob.
That was actually the sound of the first quarter of the year blasting by us.
Oh, yeah.
In the opener, that high-speed car going by was our...
That was just...
I was looking at the date display going, no way.
That's the 22nd. And then I just remembered, I have to give people, they asked for, documents for things, for business. And they started asking for them, in February. And they're all due today, and I'm like, oh.
I know.
I think I've got them. I just need to take them down there. Okay. Anyway, good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Carl.
You know, it's twice this week. Thank you so much.
We've got the audience confused, though, because all day Tuesday they thought it was Thursday. So this is really Thursday now.
It's
57 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 61, a low of 36, and rain and wind. Thursday night it's supposed to, as they indicated, it's supposed to get down to 36 on Friday. Showers and a high near 53. Friday night, showers, about 34 degrees. It's going to just continue to rain. Saturday, unfortunately, they got the home show over there. Going to rain all day. Chance of precipitation is 80%. That's not good.
No.
Saturday night, showers likely and a low around 35. But on Sunday.
Let me give you a real good reason why, besides that. But finish up the news.
A chance of showers, mostly cloudy with a high near 56. And Sunday night, partly cloudy with a low around 34. Going into next week, mostly sunny, it looks like. Not much chance of a rain until the middle of the week. Weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
Well, I'm taking the young lady out with her dad Saturday morning. And trust me, the weather has not been cooperating with us.
Do turkeys come out when it's all rainy and icky?
Yeah, except it's Carl Turkey.
Yeah,
Turkey Carl comes out.
Yeah.
And it'll be Turkey Brandy and Turkey Travis. All of us out there. But I got a blind up. So it's, at least it'll be...
turkeys?
Yeah, I'm not going to say it were dry. No, it's not waterproof. It's water resistant. But, I'm going up there today or tonight to take a look at it, make sure it's still there.
I put it
in a kind of covered position. But, so we're out there. We didn't see a turkey. We heard them. And I'm out with Ted Lighty, who is just probably one of the best hunters around. We don't see a turkey. And so you've got two guys walking around for 3 hours trying to track turkeys, which is not hard to do if they go through muddy areas or something, but couldn't see anything. Finally, we're standing at this gate out there, and we started looking down, and we saw a couple of feathers. We started looking down, and we look at this gate, and literally the ground has got a lot of turkey sign on it where they've come through. And for people that don't know it, that turkey poop, you can tell a tom turkeys from hen turkeys by the way it looks.
Mm.
I mean, you can. Yeah,
I've never examined it at that level.
Mm. And, Ted said it tasted, no, it tastes different. No, but we found it. So I put the blind up around there. I have no idea if that's where they're going to be. I hope they're going to be there. So anyway, what can I say?
Yeah.
And then you
drive down the road and there they are in mass out in the middle of the road.
You know what? In fact, I think I'm going to go over to,
You come down to my street. I've got them out there all pretty regularly.
Marcus and Kelly part and have them in their backyard. I'm just going to knock on their door at like 10 o'clock on Saturday morning and say, man, I'm playing through here. And they're out there. And just walk out in their backyard and kill one.
Yeah.
And just one shot, just let the girl just shoot that one, and we'll traipse back through their house again and get in the truck and come back. And
yeah.
Or I'll shoot one in the middle of I'll shoot one in front of Five Star Bank because they hang out in front of Five Star Bank. They hang out in front of Five Star Bank. I mean you have to walk around. Turkey leavings.
Ready Cemetery. I've got that video I showed you of the two turkeys escorting the cop car.
That's right, Redding Cemetery. They're, you know, who am I going to disturb?
There you go.
By the way, as a
they might find it a little interesting. There's a blind out in the middle of the Redding Cemetery, you know, and people.
You know, I often remember that my son actually talked my husband into going turkey hunting one time. Rick was quite into the turkey thing, and Bob came home and related that there were two turkeys there that he was sure of.
Yeah, well, I think there's going to be.
That was all.
Because here's the other part, because we're up in Shingletown. And if it turns cold at all.
Snowy turkeys.
It was last time, you know, first time I was out there, there were snowy turkeys out there when all of us were standing there looking for turkeys. And anyway, so it could be snow out there. And then at that point, frankly, and this is me, I have never hunted turkeys in the snow. So I'm not sure how long they're going to stay up. I mean, they've eventually got to come down. But are they going to stay in the trees? Or are they going to kind of come out there, you know, and where they can root around in the grass where they usually do, you know, where all the bugs and everything are? I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, Bob.
I was just, as I do this time of year, I was looking at the USBR site, Shasta Lake Now. 33 feet down.
Yeah. I mean,
the number keeps getting smaller.
Gosh, 10 days ago it was at something like, 39 or something
Yeah, we were hovering close to the 40-foot mark down, and now this latest series of storms is bringing us up about 6 inches per day.
And hopefully they're getting some snow up in the higher elevations so that we're building a snowpack, which is what we really need for later on.
The snowpack has gone from 12 to 30% of a normal year, so it's not great, but it's a lot better than
it was. It's better than the first time they went out there and they couldn't find any snow to measure.
Yeah, the total pack was less than 12% during when they took the first reading, and that had a lot of people's lots of consternation over that.
Oh, for sure, because we can turn it around in just a heartbeat from drought to. Yeah. And of course, when we had all that moisture, we made such great steps towards solving the problem on a permanent basis,
and then
putting in some permanent storage, and they just moved mountains to make sure to make we didn't get into a drought situation.
That's right, the Sykes Reservoir.
Yeah, it's under construction, I'm sure.
I'm sure it must be. It's
and
been 40
And they must
40,
have finished that
years.
Dam down there that they let go forever and ever until it collapsed.
With the one down in Orland?
Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Was it Orland?
Yeah, Water Quality Board has determined that we don't really need that reservoir. We can conserve our way.
Wait a minute. Wait. Who said that? Is that true?
California? What? Yeah, they spiked all the projects.
The Sykes.
Yeah, that was in the headlines a couple of weeks ago. I was like shaking my head.
I missed that. I'll look that up.
Are you sure?
Water Quality Control Board.
This is fake news until you look it up.
Yeah. But Water Quality Control Board is one of the most powerful examples of the deep state. The bureaucracy that controls, that is not elected. We have no voice in their decision. They are not accountable to anybody, and they make all of these decisions that are bound.
You're listening to this, right? I want you to find, without mentioning the name, I want you to find that famous quote about eating. You still have that up there? The eating, if you eat. Don't say who it is, but just play it. So you should find it. Okay, because you're right. We'll play that after the break. Hey, you know, one thing I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get my hands on it first, get the remote, is my sleep number setting of 60. That's the one thing I can control for sure.
And
if
I have total control on that.
I know you do.
I have total control on that. Yeah. And my sleep number is 55.
Linda's sleep number setting is 40, and she goes up and down on it. But my, you know, it's spring. It's time to get rid of all those old things like old mattresses, you know, and get a new mattress. And why not get one of the best made, if not the best made? J.D. Powers rates it number one. Consumer Reports names rates it number one. Carl and Trish rate it number one. Because, I mean, if a bed's not comfortable, you don't keep it.
Well, absolutely not. And I've had my bed for over 12 years now.
There's, you know what, and being able to adjust it so that if you're having like a, you've been out hunting turkeys all day.
Or cleaning, or working in the backyard, more appropriate for me.
And so, you know, might want to change that firmness of that mattress up, and you can do it with Sleep Number. Right now, Sleep Number mattresses start at only $899.99. I mean, that's a good price, because that's how much you're going to pay for any good mattress anyway. Why not have one that lasts an extra long time that's this good? Right now, during the spring clearance, you can save up to $600 on their most popular beds. All of these at Sleep Number out in the Target Shopping Center. Head on down there. Target Shopping Center. Go on in. Say that Carl, Trish, and Linda sent you. Let them figure that one out. And lay down one of the beds. See what they're like. I talk to people that not only did they get one for themselves, then they turned around and they got one for the kids.
Yes.
So, okay, Sleep Number.
Guaranteed sleep through
the
night.
Did you find it?
I didn't find the
what you just said
question.
About the deep state. The deep state. Okay, play it, buddy.
If you eat food, drink water, or breathe the air, we impact you every day.
Boom.
Yep.
That's in Shasta County.
Yes, it is.
And the gentleman that made that statement, and he's absolutely right. And if they didn't want you to build something, or they wanted to put, you know, restrictions on you, and they do it in a heartbeat.
That's
and
exactly
guess what?
Right. And no recourse.
And guess what? They can still do it.
Yep.
All right. That was Shasta County, the Department of
Resource Development.
Resource Development. And imagine that multiplied up at the state level.
That's
we'll
right.
be right back after these messages. Carl Bott, Trish Clark, 17 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock.
I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follow up. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number.
This weekend, the original Home and Garden Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Events Center. This year, welcoming the Love Your Pet Expo. Need landscape ideas, household improvements, a new roof, gutters, lighting, doors, windows, flooring, appliances, a pool, spa, barbecue, patio, pest control, decking, fencing, weatherproofing, or planting a garden? Find answers for all your spring home improvement projects and see Axner's landscaping display. For information, go online at lettinghomeexpo.com.
Be careful posting on social media when leaving town for any period of time. With 66% of all burglaries being committed by someone who knows the victim, sharing where you'll be and how long you'll be gone is a sure sign that your home or business is vulnerable. That's all someone from your social media sphere needs to start scheming their way to your essentials. Wait to post those pictures from Hawaii till after you're home, and you'll save yourself some peace of mind knowing your valuables aren't being taken while you're away.
This security moment brought to you by North State Security, an ounce of prevention. Since 1968.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings in over 25 directories, and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
When you need prompt, dependable transportation, you can count on Redding Yellow Cab. At Redding Yellow Cab, they have a deep commitment to serve the public and provide dependable first-rate service. Whether you're heading out for a night on the town, need to get to work, or you're just running errands, relax and let Redding Yellow Cab do the driving for you. Redding Yellow Cab is your number one choice for reliable, friendly transportation and clean, comfortable cabs. Give them a call at 222-1234. That's 222-1234.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio in the studios of KCNR 1460 in downtown Reading. Good morning, everybody. Hope you're having a great morning, as Trish Clark and I are. 7:21 in the morning here on the 22nd of March, 2018. It's 57 degrees. It's raining. And if it's not raining right now, it will be raining. It's going to go up to 61 and then 36 tonight. And I'm just picturing all that rain that's going to be up in Shingletown that turns into that bright, beautiful snow up in those areas up there. So good morning, everybody. The weather, of course, is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends. And I mean our friends over at SST Oil. I was coming back up from Sacramento yesterday. Get a chance. We're going to talk about the meeting we had. Because I'm on the Citizens Advisory Board of the California Highway Patrol, and the meeting we had yesterday, and we talk about the deep state. We've got probably one of the finest law enforcement agencies in the world working for us there at the California Highway Patrol, and the things that the bureaucrats keep adding on to them is remarkable. And when I tell you about this one thing, because it's not just going to impact on the California Highway Patrol, it's going to impact on the Anderson Police Department exactly the same way, the Reading Police Department exactly the same way, and the Sheriff's Department, all of them exactly the same way. Wait till you hear this. And it's been passed, and it's going to happen. So,
and stay tuned for the second hour.
That's right. And so SST Oil, and the reason I'm saying this is because on the way back, I needed gas, so I just stopped in, and I used one of their CFNs, one of their cards that's good in 57,000 different places. And I just thought about it. I just go in and stick in the card and all this, and it was just easy. You don't think about it. I see the fire engines in there. I see the public works. I see private businesses all using this ability from SST Oil. They have it all there. Kerosene, they've got the water heaters, they've got the home heaters that you can run off kerosene. SST Oil, it's employee owned. They're looking for employees. They want to hire more people. Give them a call, 241-1167, SST Oil. Okay, we're here with Mike Ferrier and Roger Plano today.
Good morning. We're talking
about the Lions.
Yes, this Sunday we are going to have the Lions Priceless Vision event. It is a clinic. We are going to give away free recycled pairs of glasses. Anybody can come. There's no needs test for getting into the building. It's going to be a Good News Rescue Mission. We've got the whole chapel, 4,600 square feet of space to do this operation. People are going to come in the door. Fill out some registration paperwork, get their vision digitally screened. We're going to look inside of their eyes and measure the inside of their eyes. No puffs of air or anything like that. It is no touch. The camera that looks at you is 3 feet away. Then they're going to get a diabetes screening, then see an ophthalmologist. We've got 5 optometrists and ophthalmologists that have volunteered their time to help us out with this event. Then we have thousands of pairs of recycled glasses. If we have a pair that will fit you, you will walk out the door with that pair of glasses on your face. If we don't have a pair that will fit you, we have Zenni is going to be there, a company that supplies glasses, and we have an arrangement with them. They will produce the glasses off-site and send them to you. And we have Vision Service Plan that's going to be supplying the option to be able to have glasses made. You go to an optometrist. We pay for the optometrist visit and get whatever additional services you need. County Health Department is going to be there. And we, as Lions, have our own system of being able to take care of surgery on your eyes. We send you to San Francisco. We have our own doctors. They provide free of charge whatever you need. You need cataracts taken care of. You have a detached retina, whatever that is. And it's just
so I need a new pair of glasses. Can I get them from you all?
Sure can.
You bet.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what this is? Why this is so cool is I do need a new pair of glasses.
The question is, do you need to see?
Here it is. Is a lot of times kids, as they grow, their vision changes quickly.
Yes.
And so, if you've got your kid glasses, but you're just the money is just so damn tight because of what's going on. So they can come out there. They can come to you all that day.
Yep.
Yes, they can.
And have their kids' vision taken, have your whole family's vision taken care of.
You could
get glasses, and maybe they do need an operation, something like this.
You can throw whatever in there that you want to. Yeah, we do that.
You know, the exciting part of that, this whole thing, is that the Lions Club has been collecting glasses in the state of California for...
Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a box down at the Frontier Senior Center.
Yes.
Every place, they've always been able to donate the glasses. Not until just recently are they able to give them out in the state of California.
Right.
So this is like a first ever event. If
Lions took the lead in changing the law in the state of California. And it just passed last year. There have only been a few of this type of event happen in California so far. And we're excited. This is the last one was in Redwood City. And we're the first step here.
Bob just had surgery. Come on, Bob, tell him.
Yeah, I just had both eyes done, cataract surgery.
Right.
Now I have a large box of old frames.
Just frames? Hang on to the
frames and glass. I have a large box of glasses and cases and all that.
Right.
That's something you guys could use?
Yes.
Yes.
If you have glasses, old cell phones, printer cartridges, the small ones, or hearing aids, we will reprocess those and use them.
How about old fluorescent light bulbs?
No,
we don't
sorry.
Do I'm sorry.
Okay. I saw that light come on over his head over there.
I was hoping there might be something you could use since it costs $2 to get rid of each one of them.
Yes.
What is this? I save money to use this. Oh, by the way, anyway. Okay, this is absolutely fabulous. This is what you guys are doing. I mean, and you get nothing out of this except the pleasure of helping people. Roger, you're in the middle of all these things.
Yes. I am.
Okay. Get him there a little bit closer. Pull that microphone
he's shy.
In.
Yeah, I'm shy, and I don't like to talk much, but I get it done, and this is one of the things that's first in Northern California. We expect to be giving out at least 500 pairs of glasses that day, which is kind of a record up in here, and just really want you people to come on out.
Yeah, this is just not for the homeless
this is for everybody
mm-hmm. that is, you know, maybe has put it off or something like that. It doesn't fit in their budget right now.
Mm-hmm.
But now you can go down, get a vision test, get a pair of glasses, who they may just have them right there, or if not, they will make them. And Zinni makes incredibly
good
deals.
They're great.
And this is all of the Lions Club, Anderson Lions Club, Enterprise Lions Club, Reading Breakfast Lions Club, Reading Host Lions Club, and Mountain Lions Club.
Yes, and I'm several others that
have
just recently come into the
fray. And then it's sponsored by Health and Human Service Agency. Right. I think this is really exciting.
You need to get a ticket, though.
No, you don't. We originally set it up that you needed a ticket. Thank you, Carl. This is important. We originally set it up. We were trying to put people into time slots because we're going to process hundreds of people in 5 hours.
Yeah, you're doing 100 people an hour.
Yeah. I mean, it's stepping and fetching. So we're asking people to have patience with us because we're going to be processing hundreds of people. But, no, you don't need a ticket. Hmm. Just come see us.
Get there, say, around 8:30 in the morning. Might help.
Yeah.
Good bring a cup of coffee and a good book.
Bring your kids. Do they need to bring anything else?
No.
No.
Just bring yourself, bring your eyes.
Right.
So, which you usually carry with you.
I do.
Most people.
Most people carry them with them.
Yeah.
Something you rarely forget when you leave the house.
That's right. I never forget my eyes. I have forgotten other things, but not my eyes. So.
There's one thing.
Is there any catches to this?
No.
One catch. We have sunglasses that we'll be giving out free, too.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we've got free sunglasses also.
Free sunglasses.
Thousands of pairs.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Are these the kind?
Are they prescription or flip-over?
Yes.
Okay, all of the events.
Yeah,
whatever we have, we'll be passing out, okay?
The ones that the optometrists give you, we've got. You want your Ray-Bans? It's just lots. of sunglasses. They'll be laid out on tables. You'll be able to just go through.
Okay,
it.
Here's
we'll
the
have
thing
the prescription
is,
ones set off.
But
the
it's
side.
Very important. Okay,
yes.
Very important for everybody is to make sure you get the right prescription. Just don't grab one set that you like because they look good on your face.
Oh, we?
Oh, no, no.
We got helpers.
Yeah, but I'm just telling people is this is why it's so important that you get the wrong prescription. Pretty soon you get headaches.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it doesn't help at all. But you've got optometrists, you've got people there that are helping, making
right.
sure everything fits. And if they can't find the right pair for you, just don't take one that's close. They're going to send you a pair
right.
later on. They'll get your address or a place that you can pick them up at because some people may not have addresses.
The really interesting part of this is the optometrist is not setting your prescription. The optometrist is doing a medical eye check.
That's right.
Okay. The machine that we're going to screen your eyes with will tell us what your prescription is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And
it's so easy now with
yes.
the equipment that's available that you can come up with the exact.
Okay.
Not like it
used to be. This is going to happen Sunday, March 25th, which is this Sunday. From 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at
right.
the Good News Rescue Mission at
right.
Market and Grange. You don't need tickets to get in. You just need to come in. All ages welcome. No income eligibility. This is just coming in.
Right.
Sponsored by the Shasta Services and the Shasta County Lions Club. You got Anderson Enterprise, Reading Breakfast, Reading Host, and Mountain Lions Club.
Right.
All of you guys. This is outstanding. You know
it
what?
Is.
There's a couple of other agencies we need to mention. Shasta County Health and Human Services,
yes.
Good News Rescue Mission, Shasta Community Health Center, Shasta Family YMCA, and Owens Pharmacy.
And
it takes a lot of people to get involved in a community to make stuff like this happen.
What's our budget?
Zero.
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 We're doing this. Everybody's a volunteer. Everything is sponsored. Everything is everything.
The other important thing is if you have glasses, hearing aids, as you indicated,
yes.
let's be sure
bring them.
That you bring them and donate them that day as well. Or the drop-off places where you can put them.
Old,
one of them is
old cell phones.
Center.
You know,
yeah.
see, I still have a couple of the flip phones that I have not given up on yet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, no, I haven't given up on them because I'm thinking this is just making me crazy. I'm going back to my old flip phone.
We will have boxes there. If you have that kind of stuff, if you don't need glasses or whatever, just on that morning, bring your stuff.
Bring your stuff.
Bring your stuff.
Got
we'll have boxes
right.
for it.
Wow. Gosh, you Lions guys are cool people.
I'm going to give you one more thing.
Wait, one more thing.
The glasses that we don't use that day are going to Kenya. They're going to go to 4 primary schools in Kenya. They're being hand-carried there and distributed in Kenya.
Are they going to have an optometrist on the other end, too?
Yep.
Yes, we are.
So you can make sure that they get the right glasses, too. They just don't get glasses from Americans that hurt their heads.
Correct.
Right.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure they don't want to make enemies.
Can you see why we're excited to be in Lions?
You guys are excited. I mean,
yes,
and you should
good
be.
Stuff.
You should be. This is just wonderful. I hope other people, I hope you've been telling other people about this. I hope it's in the paper. I hope that people are down there Saturday covering this to show what a great thing is. Because this is for anybody. You know, it's for anybody. Trish and I can come on down and get our eyes checked.
There you go.
Carl, you're the only one we've talked to. I'm sorry. We didn't spread it to anybody else. I mean,
yeah. I'm sure. But you know what? This is the first time I've heard of it. Now, it could be because I was just busy.
Yeah.
But this is just super. Now, it's not only just the vision screening eyeglasses, but it's also diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yes.
Because that's from the eyes.
Everybody gets the diabetes test.
Is that through the eyes?
Just a quick throw out there, because there's so many other things that the Lions Club do in our community.
Yeah.
The flag up on the freeway.
Yeah.
On Easter Sunday, the Anderson Lions Club has their historical Easter egg hunt in the Anderson River Park.
What
I mean,
kick.
Oh, it's a huge big deal every
yes.
year. The Lions are. We have so many great service organizations, and the Lions are right in there with
them. You've just taken the lead right here.
Exactly great.
So for this week, you all are like number one. Vision
Thank
screening,
you.
Eyeglasses, and diabetes testing, all free, all this Sunday, March 25th, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Good News Rescue Mission. And this is free. If you've got, you know, if it hasn't been fitting into your budget, now it does because it's free. And
right.
if they don't have the glasses right there that fit you perfectly, they're going to make them and get them to you. So,
thank you.
Don't be foolish. Do not go down and not take advantage of this.
Yes,
right here.
Bring your smiling faces and open your eyes wide.
That's right, Mike and Roger. Thank you so much, and thanks to the Lions Club.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, you bet. We're going to take a quick.
Now we're going to a Lions meeting.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
I can see clear.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Relax and enjoy your valued time with family and friends. Let Elements do the preparing for a fabulous Easter brunch at Wind River Resort and Casino on Sunday, April 1st from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Buffet includes carving station with prime rib, pork loin, baked ham, a waffle and omelet station, and an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Adults $25 with River Club card. Children $8. Children 5 and under eat free. Reservations suggested. Call 1-800-280-UWIN. For full menu, download the Wind River app. It's better at the river. Are you a trivia geek? Think you know pop culture? Are you ready for a challenge? Yeah? No? Maybe? Whatever. It's fun, and that's all that matters. Grab your friends and head down to Wind River Resort and Casino and play the River Trivia Challenge. Live every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock inside Overtime Lounge. Test your knowledge and show your skills by playing the River Trivia Challenge for a chance to win free slot play and fantastic prizes. For official rules and details, log on to WindRiver.com. Trivia is better at the river.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Redding Kia, inviting you to clean up with big savings during Redding Kia's spring cleanup sale.
Kia, America's best value gives you more, like America's best warranty and great gas mileage.
It's the 51 mile per gallon 2018 Kia Niro, highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017. You have got to drive this car.
And you'll clean up on a new 2018 Kia Optima, EPA rated 36 miles per gallon highway, lots of room for your friends and family, and a ride you're going to love.
The 2018 Kia Sorento, highest ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017, is available now and at a great sale price.
And you'll really clean up with complimentary lifetime oil changes when you purchase your next vehicle at Redding Kia. So come on, take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy at your Kia Superstore.
Redding Kia's spring cleanup sale on now. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. We both own Kias and we love them.
Redding Kia, Facebook, Instagram, reddingkia.com.
Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bach.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Stay in the studios at KCNR 1460. Trish Clark and Carl Bach here today. 20 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock here, or 23 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. 57 degrees going up to 61 with lots of rain in the forecast. 530-605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968. When we talk about that, they are the largest security firm, private security firm, north of Sacramento. 150 officers, and I mean officers, and not just guards walking around, they're officers that are trained. They have a program that they can have an officer to your business or your home in under 10 minutes. Think about that. Can you get the police there? No. I mean, it's impossible. And that's not a slap against the police. There's six of them out there for 60 miles. But if you call North State Security, they'll have somebody there in less than 10 minutes. North State Security, an ounce of prevention since 1968. Locally owned, locally operated, local people here. 243-0295. All right, now, before we get to our next guest, we've got Nick on the phone. We're going to talk about unfunded liabilities, I think. Is that it, Nick?
That's it. Thank you so much. Hey, I have what I consider a very viable plan to clear our unfunded liabilities in 15 years. I went to a city council meeting here 2 weeks ago, and my 3 minutes was up before I could even get to it. I wrote a letter to the editor and Carol Ferguson refuses to print it, is my assumption, because it hasn't been in there for 2 weeks. So I want your callers to get a pen, because I'm going to give them Carol's phone number when I get done here, and they can call her up and tell her to print this letter.
You better get her quick. She's leaving next week.
Oh, good riddance. Hey.
No. That's not being. Let's be nice, Nick.
Okay, I will. She's been awful rude to me at times, and that's why I said that, and it just creeped out.
Okay.
Here's my point. You know, Carl, Gary Cadd keeps coming up with the point that we're over $500 million in unfunded liabilities. And if you go to the CalPERS actuary valuation, it shows that. Well, I finally went to it. And I think it could be put in a better light. When you go to CalPERS actuary valuation and fish around and find Redding's account,
mm-hmm.
and on page 17, you'll come to a 30-year amortization schedule. And what that is, that's the schedule to pay off our unfunded liabilities. And at the end of 30 years, for safety, which is fire and police, we'll have paid $271.5 million. For miscellaneous, now this is everybody but fire and police, at the end of 30 years, we'll have paid off $326 million. This comes up to $597 million that we taxpayers are going to pay the way they're going right now, and we're not going to get anything for it, Carl. Now, here's what I find interesting. Barry Tippin says that unless we get a half-cent sales tax in the next 10 years, we're going to be $20 million in the hole. So that tells me that they already have this money budgeted to pay these unfunded liabilities. That is our money that we gave them for safety and services, and they have put their retirements ahead of our safety and our services. And if we want our safety and services, we're going to have to give them more money. That doesn't sit very well with me. Now, here's
okay,
what I think
I need the solution. Okay, that's the background. What's the solution, like, in the next minute or two?
Here's the solution. We keep paying the unfunded liabilities on safety. We have to pay that. We need the police. I believe we should default on the miscellaneous. Send CalPERS a letter of default right now, and that freezes the account where it is. It's paid for up to 65%. That means somebody that's drawing $100,000 a year will get $65,000 a year. That's not too bad when you consider the medium salary income for a family of four in the city of Redding is $37 million. I wish you'd give me a few more minutes.
I've got other guests here, Nick. I've got to have them on because they've been scheduled. But what we can do is, I think at 8:30 today, we'll be clear with, I think. I know we have the Democratic woman, one of the Democrats that are running against LaMoff is calling in at 8:05. I don't know how long she'll last.
I'd be happy to call back at 8:30.
Well, we need to do some, but I have other guests here. Now, you've taken their whole time, so I've got to go to a break and then go into the next segment. Like that. So you've had the whole segment here, Nick.
Well,
you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. I know, Nick. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Would you like me to call back at 8:30?
No, not today, but we'll tell you what. Give me a call after the show, and we'll set up a time for a whole half hour for you to talk. How's that?
That'd be great.
Maybe we'll have you and Gary Cadd come in. We'll do a whole hour.
Chris Kellstrom and I are going to be on Jefferson State of Mind on your show Sunday from 9 to 10. If anybody wants to call and ask me about this, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Well, you know what? You think about these things because you come out, but we owe, when they're saying, oh, we owe $270 million, it's not $270 million. It's much more than $270 million. And what about this thing about paying it off early and say, you know how they say, hey, if you pay, you can pay the minimum or you can pay this much. So the whole thing goes back down. But you know what? Here's the thing is if you default on that, people that are making for the city that are making $40,000 a year, and there's a lot of them at the city or the county making that much.
We're talking city, and there's a lot of them making over $100,000.
It would impact all of them. It's not just the guys that are making $150,000.
You know, but when it came to the 2008 recession, it impacted everybody too, except them.
Well, okay, Nick, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Wow. You took the whole segment. That's okay, because we are here with Katie Ball.
We're flexible.
We're flexible, and we're going to take a break, and we're going to bring you back on, get your whole segment in here.
All righty.
All right. So we're going to talk about Love Your Pet Expo, and then we're going to have the Democrat on at 8:05. She's calling us, Marty Waters. Is it Waters? I think so. It's Marty Waters. It's going to be calling us in. So let's take a break. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at the Home Helpers. Sharon Clark, your buddy.
Yeah.
She had her show in here yesterday, Generations. But if you're looking for an in-home health care services, this is the one to go to. It's an extended family. It's home helpers. It's somebody that you want to take care of your family. In-home health care, professional, cost-efficient, and it keeps them where they're the happiest in their homes. Home helpers. Give them a call at 226-8350 or check them out at readinghomehelpers.com. We'll be right back.
The original Home and Garden Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Event Center this weekend. Speak to the experts ranging from home remodeling and construction through landscaping solutions, interior design and decor, to financial and insurance services, and learn about the latest in design and green technology. Plus, the Love Your Pet Expo, featuring vaccines, heartworm testing, dog sports, demonstrations, adoptions, and more. For information, go online at Reading Home Expo and loveyourpetexpo.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory-smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
It's all systems go for Turtle Bay Exploration Park's annual fundraising auction, Gene, Jules, and Jazz, Out of This World, coming Saturday, March 24th at the Reading Civic Auditorium. Get ready to blast off for a fun evening of entertainment, hors d'oeuvres, live auction, and more. All proceeds support Turtle Bay's educational programming and events. Individual tickets and patron tables are available by phone at 530-242-3143 or online at turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park, isn't it wonderful?
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday. It is 13 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, 57 degrees, going up to 61 today. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. In this portion of the show, brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Northern Firearms Instruction, largest privately owned company in California. Started right here 10 years ago and is going strong over 30 counties right now. If you're looking for firearms training with CCW or defensive pistol, or how about self-defense, unarmed self-defense, all of this comes under Northern Firearms Instruction. Check them out at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 530-999-1822. We're here with Katie Ball, and she's here, wants to talk about Love Your Pet Expo. It's that time of the year again.
It's that time of the year again. This is our 11th annual. We're at the Shasta District Fairgrounds, and this year we're putting a twist in it and teaming up with the Home Show. Which is awesome because the Home Show is not normally pet friendly because the fairgrounds don't like to have dogs there unless it's a pet show. So that's opening up the Home Show to now be pet friendly. Plus we've got our fundraiser with the silent auction, all kinds of awesome things going on, vendors like crazy. So we've got all kinds of fun stuff for you and your pet to come down and do at the fairgrounds.
And that's this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the, or are you just doing Saturday and Sunday?
I'm just doing Saturday and Sunday.
Okay.
The Home Show is open, starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
We're doing right. Setup and we're Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, and you can get, besides having demos, having an auction, but low-cost vaccines, heartworm testing.
Food. And, you know, the dog flu is going around like crazy, so they will be vaccinating for that.
And, by the way, our veterinarian, our our regularly scheduled veterinarian, Dr. Kara Tennant, was on last Friday, and she points out this is a very effective vaccine.
Yes.
This is stuff that they, unlike human vaccine.
They did better with the dogs than they did with people.
It's a bi vaccine. It's two strains that they put together, that the one from Illinois and the one from Florida.
And
is what's gotten everybody's, all the dogs.
Even if you don't take your pet very many places, someone else's dog can rub on you and you can take it home to your pets, to your dog at home. So, yeah. I actually use Dr. Tennant myself.
No. Well, she is talking about it. She says they're starting to see it, and it's just a matter of time. In fact, taking your dog there is a good way to get the vaccination.
Yeah.
So, okay, what else is happening there?
Well, we're going to, like I said, we're going to have demos. On Sunday, they're going to have an Easter egg shuffle thing with your dog to see how well you can walk your dog with a raw egg on a spoon. So there's all kinds of fun games and things.
Well, that'd be easier for people with small dogs.
Right. And so usually this is a free show, but since we are with the fairgrounds this year, be prepared to pay your $4 at the gate to get in.
Okay.
So that's something that also that I want to make people aware of. We are accepting donations at the door, so you can bring, you know, pet food. It can be, you know, a few dollars in the till, and every donation gets a free raffle ticket.
Well, and we need to point out that this is the 11th annual fundraiser to support blind and special needs animals.
Right. The Love Your Pet Expo Sanctuary is a sanctuary for the blind, and we just got a new blind pocket pit. So he's pretty amazing and 11 weeks old, little tank. So he's running around the house.
So this is Love Your Pet Expo. It's to raise money for support blind and special needs animals. Are those all at your property?
Uh-huh, they're all at the sanctuary, right.
At the sanctuary, okay. And so what's a pocket? What's a pocket one?
I've never heard of that before, but it's where they're trying to make breeding pit bulls to be smaller so that they're, I guess, more friendly. They're not so scary for some people if they're
not so scary looking.
Right. But he's still a little tank.
That's what you need. I need a miniature pit bull. I've got one. It's called Elk Killer. She thinks she's a large pit bull on steroids. So, okay. So all of this is going to be this weekend.
Yep, this weekend.
So how long have you been? You've been doing this for 11 years. So what got you into rescuing blind and special needs animals?
My daughter broke her arm years and years and years ago, and her trainer didn't want her to lose the smell of the barn. So gave her a blind pony to walk around and brush and take care of. And then when we moved up here from Southern California, there was going to be no one to take care of this blind pony. So I said, I'll just bring her with. I'm going to bring my horses. And Chick Miller found out I had a blind pony, and she had barbed wire, and we had barbless wire. So she said, I have a blind pony. And before you know it, within 1 year, I had six. So I started training blind ponies back in 1999. And then before you know it, I had a blind goat, then a blind dog, and then 14 blind cats. And so we've just grown from there. Our dog pack is 4 blind dogs and a deaf dog.
So does the deaf dog lead them around?
No.
Okay, I'm just wondering.
Nope, my big blind Catahoula is the head of the pack, and he trains the other blind dog, so it's literally the blind leading the blind, and it's amazing. He can fetch, he can herd. You would be surprised. People say, he's not blind, and you turn around and look, and you can tell he's definitely blind, but he's amazing.
Do blind dogs have a problem sleeping?
Oh, no.
Is that one of the problems that because of or maybe it's deaf dogs? I know somebody has a deaf dog, and they've got, like, other dogs that aren't deaf, and they don't wake up when other dogs do because they don't hear anything.
Right.
So they've got to almost, you know, wake them up to those things. Maybe that's it.
I think my deaf dog has it harder than my blind dogs do. I really do.
What do you do with what do you train a blind pony to do?
Can ride them. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're amazing. They're small, so they're like big dogs. So you can train them to be ridden. You can train them to come. You can train them where their water is, you know, to stay with the other.
I see what you mean.
Yeah, okay. They're awesome. And people would come out and visit, and they would say, wow, these ponies are awesome. It's therapeutic. You can, you know, brushing them, braiding their manes, that type of thing.
It's cool.
It's amazing.
So you've had this sanctuary for how long now, then?
Where exactly is your sanctuary? We're out off Keswick Dam and Lake Boulevard.
Okay. And so it's a and so if this is the money goes to take care of these,
right? We've had a really huge 12 months of vet bills. Boy, I'm telling you, it's been rough. So, 100% of the proceeds from this will go to vet bills, and the home show is paying for our second day. So that's their way of giving back as well. So we've got some great support
and
from our community.
Like, I see Crown Motors is there.
Mm-hmm.
They're always great for these kind of things.
Yeah.
I think he said, what did he say? Kids, animals, and veterans. Steve. He's really good at those things.
And my son-in-law works there. So.
Oh, nice. Oh, that doesn't hurt.
That helps.
Save the date. It's going to be this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, at the Anderson Fairgrounds at Love Your Pet Expo. It's going to be in the Spring Home and Garden Show. And you can just go in there and get free you can get vaccines that are cheaper. They've got auctions going on. They have all different types of things going
right.
on.
Right. So we're not intermixed. We've got our own building. So we're at Passero Hall.
Okay.
And there's going to, like I said, there's plenty of games, and APD will be there with their dogs, and it's going to be amazing.
Well, thank you very much.
So you're
going to
be
Ball.
Inside, so even though it's going to be raining on Saturday, we don't care.
We don't care.
It's going to be inside.
Everything's
going to
be inside. And there's a treat for anybody that shows up in a costume with their dogs. Oh, fun.
Okay, Bob, here's your chance. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much, Katie Ball.
Thanks for having me.
And I hope they have a lot of people there.
Me too.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
We still got a couple minutes left here to I want to talk about the went down to the Highway Patrol yesterday. And what I was talking about is there's something called the RIPA. It's the it's about racially profiling, or it's a profiling bill that was passed by the SAC, the SAC bureaucrats.
The Sacramento bureaucrats. Our legislature. Our
assembly, it's an assembly bill or whatever it is. So what this is a four-page document. I am not making this up. This is going to affect every police person, every law enforcement person in California, because this four pages of questions, and they are questions like, besides the name, your name, your date of birth, those kind of things, it's things like they've got to figure out, okay, male or female.
Not so easy
it's
in this
not
day
so
and
easy.
Age.
There's five
categories.
Different categories, including one that says can't tell.
And they can't ask these questions.
And they can't ask. Okay, that's the best.
That's
thing.
The
they
key.
Cannot ask, are you a man or a woman? They cannot ask it. They just got to put it in there. But if it looks like it's something that's not, obvious, you got to say why you think that. And then you've got to put down why, all the little things like, why'd you pull them over and all this. But then you've got to go through this. And plus, you've got to put in a narrative of up to 249 characters in this. Now, at the end of it, it says, what did you do? And it said, and one of it is nothing, or warning, gave warning, either written or verbal, and sent them on their way. But they have to write this up. They have to write this up. So what did we find out? Bob and I sat there. And so we're talking to the new commissioner there, the brand new commissioner who has been in, the Highway Patrol many, many years. And he says, I said, how many man hours are you going to spend on this? He says, well, you figure that we make 4 million stops a year. And to fill this thing out, let's just say 5 minutes. So do the math. He says, and we tried to tell him that, what it was going to cost. So Bob and I this morning figured out that this is going to be, if you figure there's 4 million stops, 5 minutes per stop, that's 20 million minutes divided by 60 comes to 333,333 hours. Which comes up to 39.6 hours per year that that the police are going to sit there. So one entire week of work is going to be used by a policeman or by any law enforcement, because everybody has to do this, the county, the city, everybody. Just the Highway Patrol is taking it on now to fill these things out. So it's going to take one man week per officer. Yeah. Times 8,500 officers that are in, around 8,500 officers that's in the Highway Patrol.
This is
more
every,
officers on out there.
This is every police officer in any agent. Actually,
any
okay.
agency.
Oh, any agency with more than 1,000 officers, which would be
wait
San Francisco.
Over 1,000 officers?
Let me
go back, because they said, because I had, they were when they were talking about it, it was.
Well, because
no, he said.
Every officer?
Yeah. No, because he said that.
Well, it has expanded vastly since it was introduced.
Well,
I'm sure if it's good for one, they've decided that everybody should do it. What about
because they're already talking about it. The police chief is already talking about it.
So did you cover
it? Okay, got to run. When we come back, Marty Walters, who is running for the Democratic candidate, running against Doug LaMoffa, one of the Democrat candidates. We'll be right back.
Community Talk Radio for the North State, AM 1460, KCNR Shasta Ready News, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. It's newly remodeled. Check them out. Proud sponsor of Free Fire Radio.
News this hour, townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. Congressional bargainers have cobbled together a massive spending bill aimed at averting a looming government shutdown, keeping the lights on through September.
A $1.3 trillion spending plan with a little something for everyone. Republicans will get a huge increase in Pentagon spending, while Democrats are cheering hikes in domestic programs. There is money for a border barrier, but nowhere near the $25 billion the president had requested for a wall, and there's no agreement to protect young immigrants. The legislation needs to rush through both the House and Senate by Friday to avert a third government shutdown this year.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines. Austin, Texas police say a 25-minute cell phone video left by bomber Mark Condit is basically a confession, although it doesn't provide a motive for his actions.
It is the outcry of a very challenged young man talking about challenges in his personal life that led him to this point.
Austin Police Chief Ryan Manley saying the video was made shortly before Condit killed himself by setting off one of his homemade bombs as police moved in. People across the Northeast digging out from under a heavy blanket of snow after the latest nor'easter to blast the region moved on through.
The heaviest snow extended from southern Pennsylvania eastward across northern New Jersey and into Long Island. We had reports of close to 20 inches over parts of Long Island.
Kevin Fitzgerald at the National Weather Service. Storm not quite done yet. It's moving north, dumping snow from Providence, Rhode Island, along coastal Massachusetts, New Hampshire, and Maine. Tough day on Wall Street so far. The Dow down 340 points, off just over 1%. The NASDAQ 102 points in the red. The S&P down 35. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Nationwide strikes in France causing major disruptions to trains, planes, schools, and other public services.
The metro in Paris is in theory running okay, but all the regional commuter networks into Paris are very badly affected. Across the country, I think it's something like 40% of TGV lines, which are normally spared, are operating only 40%, and lots of kind of regional and intercity trains are stopped. On the air front, there's about 30% cancellations out of airports around Paris. So it's a picture of pretty severe disruptions.
That's the BBC's Hugh Schofield. The Bank of England expected to keep its main interest rate unchanged, but indicates that it could hike the rate again in May. Keep a lid on inflation as wages start to pick up. This week's economic data shows inflation easing, but still above the 2% target, an annual rate of 2.7%, and wage increases are picking up. News and analysis, townhall.com. Legislation targeting sex trafficking on the Internet has cleared the Senate.
The bill cracks down on online sex trafficking by allowing victims to seek justice against websites that enable the crime. Under current federal law, websites like Facebook, Google, and Twitter cannot be held responsible for content published by third parties on their sites. But the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act aims to hold them responsible. Tech groups have expressed concern about the bill, saying it could harm free speech, but prosecutors, victims, and anti-trafficking forces are hailing the bill. They're calling it essential to cracking down on the selling of people online for sex. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
Two experts say a video of the deadly crash involving a self-driving Uber vehicle in Arizona shows the pedestrian should have been within range of the SUV's laser and radar sensors. Then on Wall Street, the Dow down 343 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. Trish is here with us on the 22nd of March, 2018. 530-605-4567 is our phone number. We are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. And good morning. And good morning, Trish.
Good morning. It's Thursday morning, and it's blustery outside. We're looking for a high today of 61, a low of 36. It's currently 57 degrees, and I think it's raining from what I can see out there. On Friday, we're looking for showers, a high near 53. Rain again, and Friday night, about 36 degrees. On Saturday, showers all day long. 80%, only a 60% chance of showers on Saturday night, and with a low around 35 and a high of 51. Sunday, chance of showers, mostly cloudy, so rain letting up a little bit, and Monday, just partly cloudy. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
That whining sound was me thinking about taking those two people out, taking them turkey hunting on Saturday morning up past Shingletown where the snow is.
Well, we know for sure there'll be three turkeys there.
At least three of us there. And I tell you what, I don't know if I can dress warm enough because you just sit there in the blind for hours.
That's worse than duck hunting.
Well, you know what? I just hope they come down early because they come and they go, Oh gosh, let's get out of these trees and get down in that snow right away. And let's walk on over to that new thing over there. See what's over there. Say hello.
I'll send the message. That should be good. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Good morning, everybody. We have with us today, we have a representative of the Democratic Party by the name of Marty Walters, who is running for to be the candidate to face Congressman Doug LaMalfa in the elections this year. So welcome, Marty. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning?
Fine.
I have to say I'm not going to be joining you on that turkey hunt.
Yeah. Okay.
Smart lady.
Marty was going to be with us this morning, but you live up in Northern California, obviously, but you live over past Feather River Canyon, and it's not easy getting down.
Yeah, I'm up in Quincy in Plumas County, and during the wintertime, we like the Feather River Canyon Highway that gets down to Chico to get over to Redding because it's a low road. We don't have to go through too much snow. Days like today, the weather is just so bad. I ended up deciding not to do that because there were a lot of rocks coming down in that canyon this morning.
I've driven that road many, many times. I have a good friends that lived in Quincy, and today's not a day I'd be visiting them.
No, so no problem at all because the phones are still working and we can still talk, and that's the great thing.
That's great. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
Oh, of course. You know what we do is we want to have everybody that runs for office has got a place on the station because we believe in letting people make up their own minds, and the only way they can do that is to hear the candidates talk without, without a soundbite here, soundbite there. That's why we have a lot of time allotted for everybody.
Absolutely. That's fantastic.
So tell us who Marty Walters is and why you're running.
Well, you already heard that I live in Quincy in Plumas County, and one of the main reasons I'm running for office this year is really to give a voice to some of the folks up here in the rural areas of our district. Our district covers 9 counties plus parts of a couple more, so it's a big area. And we frequently have folks that represent us that don't spend a lot of time up in the rural areas. And I think it's time for us to get a voice and you know, be represented in Congress by someone who is from here and understands our rural side.
Okay, well, what is the rural side?
Well, you know, so some of the things that I'm running on include things like much better internet service for our rural communities. We often struggle to get connected. Even phone service sometimes can be a real difficulty. And one of the things that we're working against is telecom companies that are working with the government to just basically define fast internet as being much slower. So they've, you know, they check the box by saying, we're going to call it done by considering what you've got already okay. And they want us all just to use our data plans for internet. People like me who work on the internet and work remotely, you know, we really rely on having some kind of fast internet, and there are just so many places up here that can't get it. And it's not just folks that work on the computer. You know, if you're a mechanic these days, if you're a plumber, you know, you rely on good information from the internet in order to do your job. And so that's something that's really important to us. Another big issue for us is forestry. We're really concerned about the condition of our national forests and making some actual moves toward improving what we're doing with them in terms of management. So that, you know, there's a whole host of things that go with that, but part of that includes dealing with all of the excess biomass that we have in our forests from many decades of not, you know, not doing a lot of logging and removal of all the, you know, excess growth. So that's part of it. But the other part of it is, you know, taking care of our watersheds and making sure that we're doing the best we can to promote good watershed management and good storage up here high in the mountains so that the water's going to flow all year round down to the valley.
So you are okay then with logging?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, sometimes people think about Democrats and think about labels, and, you know, I'm one of those people that really firmly believes that we can have a balance between protecting the environment and also doing some logging in our national forests.
I believe that's called management.
I think it is. And, you know, we've had a lot of time, you know, and a lot of experience going in one extreme and in another extreme. You know, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, we did a lot of clear cutting, and we realized that wasn't the best way to manage our forests in terms of protecting, you know, both the ecosystem and the watershed. And, you know, then we went the other extreme, and we had a lot of environmentalist action that stopped a lot of the logging in our forests, and that, you know, that created the problem we have now, where we have this extreme fire risk. So we need to do something that's a good balance and solves the equation for both environmental protection and for doing some selective logging and good, you know, good forestry management.
You mentioned water management as well, and we just were talking earlier in the program about off-site storage, which is something we, I think, desperately need to do to solve these drought issues that we have. So in the good wet years, we can store that water for use later on. I saw where the governor's office or water quality control board had decided that these off-site storage plans that we had really were not going to be beneficial and needed to be scrapped in a nutshell. Well, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, such an interesting situation. You know, I think that the whole deal with water storage is it's not just for one purpose, and we always have to be thinking about what the purpose is for water storage. You know, so we use water storage to, you know, preserve water for our communities and for drinking water, and we also use it for agriculture, you know, storing water and providing water for agriculture. And we also use it to manage flooding and to make sure that we're not, you know, having these huge flood events that used to affect the Central Valley so significantly back before the Shasta Dam and before the Oroville Dam were constructed. And you know, it comes back to how do we best manage that. And again, I'm going to talk about balance because balance is what we need in terms of thinking about, you know, how to adjust for a changing world and a changing climate. And do we need more storage to adjust for that? I actually think that we could probably do more in terms of storing water up in the mountains where it's less likely to evaporate during the summer and doing more with storing water in wetlands in the mountains as well. And that's part of the forestry equation as well.
So you wouldn't be in support of the site's reservoir then?
Well, it's not that I'm not in support of it. I think actually that we have to do the good studies to determine what it is that we want from the reservoirs, and then whether it solves the equation that we want to solve, which is, you know, from my perspective, I'm an environmental scientist, so I'm really into making sure that when we're making decisions about big infrastructure projects, and these are big projects that have multi-generational obligations that go with them, that when we make that decision, we're going to make a good decision about it that's going to be, you know, protective of the environment, it's going to protect people, and it's going to help our economy, and then it's also going to be something that we can commit to over that multi-generational period.
Well, unfortunately, though, this is the Sites Reservoir specifically. I think we've got all those answers. We've been studying that for well over 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And has passed muster several times with several different administrations, and then has just not moved forward.
That's
how much
strange.
More studying do you want to do?
Because
on that?
It sounds like, Marty, that you're, you know, you're for cogen plants and all these kind of things. That's what my comment was going to be. I mean, I don't know how much more it could be studied. Maybe there's something new that has to come out every year. But
yeah,
hey.
Well, it's interesting though, because I think the funding that we passed, you know, back with Prop 1, you know, that provided funding for these kinds of projects had this public use criteria for it. And I think that, you know, the issue with sites right now is that the reason it didn't pass that criteria with the DWR is that it didn't, you know, it has a economic value and has a, you know, has a benefit for farming, but it didn't pass the public criteria in terms of, you know, providing benefits to people. And I think that's, you know, that's, again, it's about balancing those equations and making sure that we're, when we are making big investments and spending our tax dollars, that we're going to do it for the benefit of the people of California.
Okay. We're here with Marty Walter, who is running to be the Democratic candidate to face Doug LaMalfa in the congressional seat in the congressional election this year. She's from Quincy, and she's an environmental scientist, and we're going to take a quick break. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. 2225 Hilltop Drive, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4:00. The only full-service jewelry store in Reading that Linda and Trish hang out.
My favorite candy store.
There you go.
Girl, again, just can't have too many diamonds or too many guns.
There we go. And that's what we'll talk about those two, Second Amendment, too. Four Winds Jewelry. We'll be right back with Marty Walters.
This weekend, the original Home and Garden Expo returns to the Shasta District Fair and Event Center. This year, welcoming the Love Your Pet Expo. Need landscape ideas, household improvements, a new roof, gutters, lighting, doors, windows, flooring, appliances, a pool, spa, barbecue, patio, pest control, decking, fencing, weatherproofing, or planting a garden? Find answers for all your spring home improvement projects and see Axner's landscaping display. For information, go online at ReadingHomeExpo.com.
Tobacco and Brew has been a sponsor here on KCNR 1460 since we started the station 8 years ago. A long-standing Reading tradition, Tobacco and Brew is locally owned, backs our veterans, and does so much more for this community. It's located at 2143 Hilltop Drive. Check out their new lines, new products, new briar pipes, and of course, the famous walk-in humidor. Come in and see the newly remodeled Tobacco and Brew. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans.
the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried-and-true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460. The Carl Bott and Trish Clark Thursday. Trish is with me here today. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. You just heard their spot, but let me tell you, this is the ones we use. Over 25 years in the business, a better-known business that's been voted best in the North State, and there's a reason why. They are the best. Any make or model. 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Can't say enough about Martin and Pam and Alliance Heating and Air. On the line, we have with us Marty Walters, who is running to be the Democratic candidate that's going to run against Doug LaMalfa in the November primaries, or the November election. So good morning, Marty, and welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Marty's from Northern California, up around Quincy area, and is an environmental scientist and believes in managing our forest in cogen type of operations, which is kind of really cool to hear from a Democrat. Let's talk about the Second Amendment.
Sure thing.
This is, as you know, we're a red area in a very blue state, and the Second Amendment is one of the major points for people that live up here. Your opinions on it. Should we be banning assault rifles, quote, assault rifles? That's not exactly what they are. What kind of gun control, if any, do you think should happen?
Well, you know, I spent most of my college time working as a police dispatcher in Ohio, where I went to college, and spent a lot of time with law enforcement folks, and actually, you know, did some training with weapons myself. And, you know, it's funny, after all that time, I'm not a gun person myself, but I completely understand and support that we have the Second Amendment, and I understand and support that people here do have lifestyles that involve, you know, guns and weapons, and it's something I respect. And it's one of those reasons why I won't be on the turkey hunt with you. although I have to say my brother is a big bow hunter, and I have been out with him a few times. So, you know, I'm a Northern California through and through in terms of, you know, just the lifestyle that we have here and being one that a lot of people do want to and own guns.
Do you support a ban on assault type weapons, self loading?
Well, and I think when it comes to the, you know, assault type weapons, you know, there's this whole issue of how do you define that. I do think that we can have some limits in terms of the kinds of guns that we use and own, and you know, the kinds of guns that are used in war are probably not appropriate. And I also think that, you know, the kinds of background checks that we do now here in California, but we could do a lot better in terms of screening the kinds of people that should own guns and are allowed to own guns. And I think that's a big part of successfully, you know, balancing safety and public safety with our Second Amendment rights.
So what kind of person should be able to own a gun?
Well, I think more in terms of the people that shouldn't, you know, be able to own a gun, and we've defined that, and the problem is that we don't have a great system for, you know, actually identifying specific individuals, and we don't have a great system for maintaining that information.
I think, I think we don't need any new laws. I think they're there. I think we do have a good system for screening, but we have issues like we had in that last school shooting, where all of those issues were ignored. What we need to do is hold clearly to the guidelines that we have established and set and enforce the laws we have.
I agree. I think that we have, you know, we have some good definitions in terms of things that we, you know, think are out of bounds. For example, people who have, you know, domestic violence convictions. I mean, we know that there is some connection between that and some of the gun violence that we're seeing out in the world. But we don't have a great system for actually, you know, identifying folks and following through on that and being able to get that information to our local law enforcement folks. You know, they're the ones that really need that information in order to actually enforce the law. So that's something that I'm really in favor of. And, you know, we live in a world with fantastic information technology tools, but yet we're not, you know, we're not effectively using that in this area. And I think that's one of the very, very first things that we could do with the system that we already have today and the laws that we have in place to significantly improve public safety.
I think you're absolutely right. If we would encourage all of those that are assigned to these tasks for the reporting and then hold them accountable if those reports are not made, we just don't need to pass a whole bunch more new laws. We need to enforce what we've got.
So, Marty, I'm going to go back to this one more time because I'm not clear on this. I'm a little obtuse at times. So are you for banning assault-type rifles, ones that have removable magazines and a that look like an assault rifle? Because the ones that you can buy, you know, at the stores are not the ones that you use in war. They're different.
Absolutely, yeah. But, consumer models of things.
But that's, I need you to be really clear that you would not, you would either support a ban on those or not support.
Well, and I'll tell you this, you know, here's the thing. We talk a lot about, you know, semi-automatic technology and what is and what isn't considered a weapon of war. I am not that kind of technical person, and I don't have that kind of expertise. But I think we need to define that really clearly and say, here's what we think is acceptable and here's what we think is not acceptable. And we already have a whole class of weapons that we don't allow civilians to own. And I think that's something we need to just make sure that we're defining very clearly for ourselves so we don't have the kind of repeat of, you know, the kinds of things that happened in Las Vegas or in Parkland, Florida. You know, those kinds of weapons, I think, we need to make sure that we're not allowing those weapons in the wrong hands. And if those are weapons that should not be used in civilian life, maybe we need to be getting rid of some of those as well.
Yeah. Okay. We're here with Marty Walters, who is running to be the candidate to a Democrat candidate for Congress to run against Congressman Doug Emalfa. And we're talking about the Second Amendment. And what kind of firearms should be allowed to be owned by people and others that maybe shouldn't be owned by people. Okay. I'm going to take an early break because I'm going to come back and see what and talk about immigration.
Okay.
And then also the budget and the, you know, what's going on back there in Congress.
Okay. Great.
Okay. We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. You know, go on down there, Cornerstone Community Bank. Give them a chance to find out how they're moving local dreams forward. Extended hours, your neighbors working there, friendly people, the newest branch down at 1845 California Street. We'll be right back, right after these quick break.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Purpose-driven banking.
That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Got something stuck in your craw? Give us a call, 605-4567.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 1460 in the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. Guess what? Next week, the reconstruction KCNR 1460 studios and offices begins.
Finally.
Begins.
Long start.
Finally. Yes, we've got it. And I can't, you know, design times in this. Mike Huber from Estate Granite is building a table, a one-of-a-kind quartz table for us to bring in here. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue there, a better-known business that gives discounts for seniors and veterans. A great place to get a haircut. The only place. It's Man's Last Stronghold. Sorry, Marty. Man's Last Stronghold there. It's right off, like I said, Athens Avenue, Cypress Square Barbershop. We're here with Marty Walters, who is running to be the Democrat candidate to run against Doug LaMalfa in the upcoming congressional elections. Good morning, Marty. Welcome back.
Good morning.
Hey, Marty. Let's go to immigration. California is a sanctuary state, has said that we are now a sanctuary state. We're not going to help the feds in a number of things, not everything, but a number. What's your feelings about that?
Well, you know, the immigration question is pretty complicated, and the sanctuary state law that California passed is just one aspect of that, having to do with how the immigration customs and enforcement folks do their job, and I understand that the way California's intention is to work with that is to, you know, keep the ICE folks in their lane and keep local law enforcement in their lane. It's not always that simple, so I know that there's some complications in terms of trying to make that actually work, but I actually am not opposed to the concept of that, of keeping law enforcement and immigration enforcement separate.
But isn't it the federal authorities have the say over immigration, is that true?
Correct. And you know, the idea of behind the sanctuary, you know, the sanctuary legislation that California passed is to keep the enforcement, the responsibility of the federal ICE folks and not get the local enforcement, law enforcement involved.
But they won't allow the federal people to come in and do their job.
Actually, I don't think that's the case at all. You know, we have actually had a fair amount of ICE activity in California. They certainly do and do come in and do enforcement.
They can't come into state buildings. And from what I understand, and that law says if I've got a business here And I am, you know, I say, yeah, you can come into my business and see if I have any illegals working here. I can be prosecuted. Is that fair?
Yeah, and I'm not familiar with that particular aspect of it. I think the idea behind keeping federal law enforcement and keeping the federal immigration enforcement out of our court system is a good one, because, you know, we really rely on people being able to access and contact law enforcement and go through our normal court system, you know, to keep our people and our communities safe. And I think that's got to be something we protect.
What about the idea of protecting the border, of shutting the border down? Do you believe that we should have immigration quotas in this, or do you believe that the border should be open?
Oh, that's also a complicated question. I mean, you know, in terms of the border enforcement itself, I think we've had, you know, huge improvement in terms of, you know, actually enforcing illegal or preventing illegal crossings, you know, at our southern border. And we've even been able to do that without a wall. You know, it's something that we've been improving, and I think it's something that improved all throughout the Obama administration and has been continued to improve through the Trump administration. So from that perspective, you know, I think that aspect of illegal immigration is something that's doing pretty well. You know, most of the illegal immigration that we see in terms of things happening now are related to, you know, people overstaying their visas and not coming through illegally through a border. You know, that's certainly an issue I think that we should and can address, and that we need to, you know, to enforce our visa requirements.
So closing down the border and then coming up with some kind of immigration or some kind of plan for the people that are here, would you support that?
Oh, yeah, I think so. And, you know, it's a tough thing, because we've relied on immigration for generations to, you know, to keep our country strong and to grow our economy. And, you know, we have in the past, you know, centuries not had visa systems, and people would just come to the U.S. and start a new life here, and then we started, you know, programs for controlling that. I do still strongly support legal immigration that, you know, that brings people to the U.S. to work in areas that where we need them. I think that's an important part of our culture and our country, and it keeps our economy really strong.
But shouldn't we have more to say about where those needs are and what people come in?
Well, absolutely. I think that we always have to have that conversation and talk about, you know, what it is that our country looks like in terms of immigration. And that's a conversation we always should be having in terms of thinking about, you know, what those numbers are and where we want to be, you know, attracting folks to work here.
The other thing that I think is important, how do you feel about the fact that it should be people who want to come to our country and assimilate to our country and become Americans, mm-hmm. as opposed to establishing their country in our country and ignoring our laws?
Yeah. You know, that's an interesting aspect as well. I think that, you know, many times people have come to the U.S. and taken a little bit longer to assimilate than maybe we remember. I think
standing on the streets burning our flag and demanding rights? That's
Pardon
a little...
Me?
Standing on our streets, burning our flag and demanding rights?
Well, I haven't
That's
seen
a bit
that
of assimilation problem.
So, you know, it's not something I've ever experienced. I actually grew up in Honolulu, Hawaii, where, you know, we had a lot of immigration there, and it was a really key part of, you know, Honolulu and Hawaii's economic development and part of becoming a state. I was, somebody growing up in the public schools of Honolulu that was very much a minority in terms of ethnicity, but, you know, never experienced an issue in terms of the kinds of people that I knew and you know, who was coming, migrating to Hawaii to work in our, you know, both for the government and in tourism and in agriculture there. And I, you know, basically see the same kinds of things here. I don't see major issues with immigrants that are coming and working here. We've established a system that really relies on immigration for labor and for competition and to keep our cost of living low. You know, we benefit so greatly from those enterprise and the energy of these immigrants that come and work in every sector of our industries. I think that's part of what we have to grapple with, is that system has also included, you know, this attraction to undocumented folks that come and provide these really critical labor functions at very low cost.
But you're talking about stoop labor there, right?
Well, I think that there are undocumented folks that are working in a whole bunch of different areas.
They are. They're working anything from IT to, try and find framers that aren't illegals that are around.
Yeah.
This is the big thing. And the other part of this, though, is this is not just about people picking cabbages. This is people mm-hmm. working in all different levels. Do you support a way of checking, that background where they have to go through a check to see if they're a citizen before they can get a job?
Well, and I think that system exists right now.
It does.
We have a system for checking people's identity and checking their immigration status
when we hire folks right now.
Pardon me?
Do you support that anybody that is going to get a job in the United States has to pass that?
Yeah, and I mean, that's a system that we have already, and maybe we need to enforce that a little bit more. But it's definitely a system that's in place right now.
It is, but it's not enforced.
It's not enforced.
And in fact, they're saying that the ICE people, the immigration people, cannot come into our businesses and, in fact, check that. Because the business owners will be prosecuted in the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes in. I concur with you. In most of these instances, I think that we have more than enough laws already on the books. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need to be tweaked a little bit, but most times there is already a law. It's simply not enforced as it should be.
Right. I agree. I mean, I think that we have, we do have good laws in place. And, we also have expectations for, the cost that we pay for food. I think every single time we go to the supermarket, we're touching the system that includes undocumented labor. And if we're going to address that undocumented labor, then we also have to address the fallout from that, which is going to affect how we, how we interact with a lot of different things in our lives, including the cost of living, cost of paying for food at the grocery store.
I think we also have to put into that whole mix the cost that the American taxpayer is paying for schooling and health care, food stamps, and all those other things for all of these illegal people in our state.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question because, we have folks that are working in these very low-paid jobs, and yes, some of them are undocumented, but we also have a lot of Americans that work in these very low-paid jobs and are also getting a lot of support from various kinds of government programs.
Well, that's true, but that's what our government programs are for our American citizens.
Right, and I think that's something that we need to be thinking about in general is, what is the role of labor in that context where, the companies are paying salaries and wages at a level that's so low that people have to also rely on government support in order to do those jobs.
Are you supportive of a national level for people like salaries?
Minimum wage?
A national minimum wage?
Well, and I think, we already have a national minimum wage, and I think that minimum wage needs to be something that people can actually live on. It's a really tough question because the cost of living in places like California has gone up. And, one reason people often like to come and live in our region is because we still do have a reasonable cost of living. I'm a single mom, raised three kids by myself and, had to pay everything for them. And, when I was first a single mom, I was in school and I didn't have a job and I was really in tough shape. And I got help, I got help with, paying for health insurance for my kids, for example. I got a subsidized health insurance program, and they got free lunch for a while at school. And it helped us get back on our feet and helped me kind of make that transition to being a single mom and having to take on that big financial responsibility. And I really appreciate the position that people can be in sometimes where they need that kind of help. But on the other hand, I think also that we have these areas of California that are so expensive. I'm here, one of the reasons I just love our region is because it does provide, really good quality of life for a relatively low cost within California. And it's something I really appreciate. And I think that for anyone who is working here and trying to raise a family, we should be paying wages that support and should allow people to have families and support their families.
So we should have a minimum wage of what? $20 an hour, 25?
Well, and I know that here in California, we're trying, we're transitioning to a $15 minimum wage. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be really hard for some of the smaller businesses.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard for folks. But I think in the end, it is going to help us transition and sort of catch up the minimum wage to what it actually takes to, you know, to live and
Should somebody that works, and I know you've already, have you heard about Flippy at the Cali Burgers, the robot that flips burgers now?
Oh no, I'm sorry, I'm not familiar with that.
Look up Flippy, and because it was in the news for a couple of weeks where it can take the place of a hamburger flipper, and they've got the new kiosk rolling in here that you order from the kiosk and not from people. And I mean, we know people that own fast food places. It's got a 2%. Their profit margin is 2%.
Mm-hmm.
And at $15 an hour, they're just gonna start bringing in kiosk, and you're gonna have people losing jobs.
Right.
At that.
Right.
I mean, is that the bottom line? Is hey, let's okay. We want you to pay $20 an hour for an entry level job.
Well, and I think that's a conversation we have to really have, right? We want our cheap fast food, but we also don't want to pay anybody to do that work. So I think automation is one option, but I think we also have to really consider, you know, what is the meaning and the value of work in our society? You know, do we want a society where we have everyone working and really promoting and getting people to work, or do we want to, you know, keep bringing in automation and keep automating and mechanizing work to the point where we don't have the demand for labor? You know, those are all really big questions and good conversations that we have to have together.
We need to take a break, and I've screwed up. We have somebody that's waiting. Is DC still waiting there? I'm gonna take. Is DC still on? Are you still on, DC?
DC, are you there?
Is he still waiting?
DC, are you there?
I don't know if he's still there. I'm so sorry, DC. Okay, we don't know if DC is still there.
Okay,
you know what? I'm just going to skip this break. Let's just go to DC. Do you have a question for Marty Walters?
No, I'm still here.
Okay, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
I'm just curious. I know she's running for federal office, not state office, but every project, the eastern span of the Bay Bridge, 200% over budget, the bullet train, already $15 billion over budget. Is she worried about how we vote for these bond measures? And they're always over budget.
Okay, that's a good question.
I'm worried about that.
I think
that we have to answer for and come back to the voters when we're doing things like that and going over budget. It's really important for us to have that fiscal responsibility and to be careful and good stewards of our tax dollars.
Well, then that leads to my next question then, since that came up, and that was a good question, DC, because we seem to be doing overruns everywhere. The bullet train or the train to nowhere or the high-speed rail. What's your thoughts on that, Marty?
Oh, my goodness. You know, on the one hand, I love trains, and I am a super huge fan of trains in general. And so the idea of a bullet train sounds wonderful to me. You know, getting from, I think ultimately it's supposed to get us from L.A. to San Francisco fast and easy without having to get on a plane. It's a great idea. You know, the actuality of it is tough, right? I mean, we know that the cost of this thing is getting out of control. You know, the question is, can you get Californians to get out of their car and get on a train? You know, those are questions I struggle with. I know that in some places, like if you look at Japan or if you look at Europe, the train system is just incredibly efficient and great way to get around and get from city to city. Unfortunately, we just don't have that kind of infrastructure here. And to put that infrastructure in place means that we're all making a big collective commitment to spend a ton of money to do that and catch up.
There's so many other things that go along with that whole thing. And I made the argument years ago when I was on local government, city council, board of supervisors. You can't expect people to get into public transportation if when you build buildings, you require that they have enough parking spaces for everybody who wants to own a car.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to, the reason that the system works in Europe, not only because of the smaller land mass that they're dealing with, is because people don't own cars in those big places. Mm-hmm. They depend on the public transportation because you can't park a car in place.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think that that's a real question for us, right? Our culture and our whole 20th century and into the 21st century has been geared toward car culture and getting around individually. But on the other hand, you know, we know that LA is doing this fantastic work with their local train service. You know, just their local subway service has been fantastically improved, and people are using it. It's a popular option, you know, because the pain and suffering of driving in congested LA streets has gotten to the point where people do prefer to take mass transit. It certainly hasn't taken over the cars, but I think it provides a great option. And, you know, the environmental scientist in me is saying that, you know, you get a huge savings in terms of energy that you're expending when you're doing things like using trains.
Well, there's no question about it. We have a phone call now. Do you want to go to the phone? Because Daniel has a question. Daniel?
Daniel, you're up. Oh, good morning. How are you?
Great.
Good.
You have a question for Marty.
I do. You know, Marty, by law, statute, and rule in both the House and the Senate, there's a very specific blueprint for doing the budget. And during the time the Democrats were in power with Harry Reid and Nancy, we went for a total of 1,691 days with no budget and no attempt to do a budget. Would you be somebody that would be involved with helping to correct that issue?
Absolutely. And, the budget process is pretty complicated, and I'm still learning exactly how that all works myself. But I think that it's really critical for us to work together to, get through the budgetary process. It is something that requires a lot of compromise and a lot of working together, and I'm fully in favor of doing that and being strong, in terms of saying we need to have a budget and we need to get through the actual budget process and make sure that we're doing that with adequate public input.
You know, I thing that concerns me is we tie things that have nothing to do with the budget into it, like trying to tie DACA into it, and I believe that we need to do something for these kids. But, we need to take care of the people's business, and, both Republicans and Democrats have not been doing that very well here lately.
Well, and I think more importantly, if I can just throw in, I think they need to take these issues and take them on individually head on so that they vote specifically on those items that are important as opposed to jumping them all together and then making deals on the side that impact the American people and don't help us. That was my soapbox.
Okay. Hey, Marty, during the Obama administration, they had something called sequestration or something like word like that. And what it said was you can't spend any more money on the military than you do social programs, and which has had a severe impact on the readiness of our military over the last 8 years. Where do you stand on fully funding the Department of Defense to bring them back to a readiness posture, be able to fight two wars?
I'm somebody who really feels that personally. I spent 10 years as a contractor to the military doing hazardous waste and cleaning up military bases. So I've worked really closely, with the military. In fact, I traveled all over the Pacific Ocean, to all the different bases overseas there and worked closely with folks to manage their chemicals and hazardous waste. So I saw a lot of that in terms of what that meant and how hard people work in the military. So, the thing is that we have been spending an awful lot on the military, and the thing that really gets me is that we have military bases that the Department of Defense wants to shut down because either they're not needed or they're duplicative or they're just, out of date. And there's just a ton of money being spent keeping these military bases open. And both Democrats and Republicans are, voting in favor of that because it affects their districts directly and because they're afraid of it's a huge wrenching change to go through a military base closure. I spent a lot of time working on military base closures, and I've seen that firsthand.
The military has tried to close down hundreds of bases that have been able to, that both the Democrats and Republicans won't let them close.
And I feel like we're making this false choice of, do we fund social programs or do we fund military? What we really need to be doing is focus on military readiness and supporting the people and the actual needs of the military, and not supporting a system that's basically keeping facilities open long past their expiration date.
The How about the point of the military and pay?
I'm sorry, think, military and pay?
In their pay, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And again, you know, I think that, you know, the military is this amazing opportunity for a lot of people to, you know, go in and get skills and have a chance to, you know, sort of make that transition into adulthood in a really supportive and good structure. And I've known a lot of folks that go into the military, and I've worked with the military a long time, and I really think it's this fantastic opportunity for folks. But it is, you know, it's tough because I think right now we have so many more people in the military that are there with families. Quite frankly, you know, some people choose to enlist in order to get benefits to, you know, to have that health care coverage and to have a job that provides well for their families. And I don't blame them at all. I think that's a great thing. But it does, you know, it does sort of stress the system because so much of the pay structure and the compensation was developed at a time when most folks going into the military were young, unmarried men. And we're in a different situation today. Our world has changed, and the people going into the military have changed.
Okay, I just have one last because I want to give you some time to talk about what you would be doing. But so would you support the idea of not being able to be married for the first 4 years of your enlistment?
Oh, that's a good question. I tend not to want to make those kinds of restrictions on folks.
I'll just let you know, as the Marine Corps tried to do that one time, and they were eaten alive. They said,
oh, yeah.
Because
I know it doesn't. I mean, I generally am somebody who is this is a little libertarian in me, which is, you know, a little live and let live. I really appreciate our ability to make decisions for ourselves and to, you know, maintain our privacy and kind of do our thing and live and let live.
Okay, here, we've got like 4 minutes left. So if you get elected, what would be the first things you would do? You would introduce that you would do in the first 6 months?
Yeah, well, you know,
months.
When you're a junior congressman in Washington, you don't come with a ton of power.
But I want to know what are things that are close to your heart that you want to accomplish?
Within that limitation of coming in as a new person, you know, the things that I really feel strongly about and want to tackle immediately is that, you know, I really want to have Democrats represented on the Western Caucus. We have most of our public lands and national forests are represented in Congress by Republicans. And so we don't have a lot of balance there in terms of how we're making decisions and how we're looking at our resources. And I'd love to see some balance. So the first thing I would do is, you know, really work to join the Western Caucus and open up a lot of conversation with our other representatives that come from rural Western U.S. and represent the same similar kinds of areas that we do. And from that context, you know, that my biggest issues are supporting the people who live in this district. And that means supporting good economy and supporting things like stabilizing our healthcare systems so that we're providing good healthcare to people and doing the things that the federal government should be doing to create the kind of infrastructure and the kind of support that help people to be successful.
Okay. Anything else?
I guess I still have a minute.
Hey,
you've got 2 minutes.
Well,
left.
And I'll tell you, one of the things that I care a lot about is good conversation and good opening of dialogue, you know, between conservatives and liberals or between Republicans and Democrats. I don't always like those kinds of labels because I think all of us are a lot more complicated than that. And I want to represent, you know, people in this district that want to have good jobs and want to raise families, and they want to protect and conserve the natural resources that we live among. And I think that's a big part of going to Congress is working on those programs that help us to be our best selves.
Is it time for Hillary Clinton to go home?
Well, I think Hillary Clinton went home.
Well, she doesn't seem to know that. She's still out there on a daily basis.
Is it time for her to go home?
Is it time for her not to be the voice of the Democratic Party?
There is a generation of folks in Congress or in Washington that maybe need to step aside and let folks, you know, learn how to work together in a new way. And sometimes there can be a lot of baggage associated with, you know, a long history.
It sounds like, Marty, just say it, Marty.
Blood.
No, come on, Marty. Just say it. You're from Quincy. Just say it's time for her to go home.
I'm not going to say it.
Okay, who do you support for governor? of the state of California.
Oh, my gosh. You know, we have some really interesting candidates out there.
Gavin Newsom. Are you going to support Gavin Newsom?
I love that we have women running for governor. I think that's a really great thing. But, you know, I also really love John Chung as a really fiscal, responsible guy who I think could do some good things as well.
Well, he's kind of like down the list someplace, but I understand that.
Yeah.
Okay. You're starting to – you know what, Marty? You're starting to with that one. You almost sound like a politician.
Oh my goodness,
Marty! Thank you so much for joining us today.
You are very welcome.
I'm sure it won't be the last time. I'm sure we're going to try and find the rest of the people that are running also to have them on so that we can give everybody a shot at finding out and listening to what they think and what they believe in. So, but again, thank you so much. Oh, wait a minute! How do people get a hold of you? What's your website and all that?
Oh, come find me at martywalters.com. That's Marty Walters, Walters.com. And I'm also on Facebook a lot, and I post a lot about my positions and my views on the world on Facebook. And that's Marty Walters for Congress on Facebook.
Well, come on over and friend us at Free Fire Radio.
I've already done that.
Oh, okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Marty.
Thank you.